Do you know what it's like to be on the bill and to play for 15 minutes and the only people there to see you are the other bands and their girlfriends?
From Buffalo, New York, where we admit Canada is just like us, but we hate them, it's the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
Welcome to the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast, where we talk about the ups, downs, lefts, rights,
and promoter vultures
of the Buffalo music scene. My name is Ryan Garnett, and we're here to tell you that the voting for the All WNY Music Awards had problems with their voting app.
Yeah, and I'm Kevin Kaufman. We re-caucused. And it turns out that I won every single award.
Every award?
Every single, all of them. Yes, so...
We thank you all for your right and
Real
votes.
Movement / Kevin Kaufman, thank you for a big year in 2019, just coming out of nowhere. Wasn't even on the ballot.
Weren't even nominated.
I didn't even nominate myself.
On today's episode, we'll be talking to Chris and Mo from alt-rock band The Eaves. We will talk about their acclaimed album, Learning to Live in the Dark, and their new upcoming album, which is being recorded at GCR and being produced by Mr. Robbie Takak.
We're also going to be playing some music by The Eaves, and we also have new tunes from Stress Dolls, Ashford, and Olmsted.
But first...
What do we got? Something big.
I am very happy to announce that Struggling Productions is going to be working with a new venue called The Stage.
Ooh.
The Stage is located near the corner of Main and Transit. I believe it's on the Williamsville-Clarence border. For those who've been around the scene for a while, it was previously Club Infinity.
Oh, yeah.
It was Howdy's. I think it was about three other country bars, probably.
Okay.
Time.
I didn't know about those other ones you mentioned were before my time.
There was definitely the word Nashville on the building when they bought it.
Oh,
so
my God.
I don't know what was there last. So, yeah, it fits. It's going to open February 21st. And they're doing tribute acts, they're doing country acts, and I'm going to be bringing in some touring rock bands, and I'm going to be finding local acts to support the touring acts.
Yeah.
Which I think is really important. When we talked about bands drawing in the area, I made it clear that, you know, you're not going to draw Buffalo fans to a show in Clarence where they have to drive half an hour and they can see the same bands and it might even cost more.
Mm-hmm.
So I made it clear to them that, you know, what we need to do is we need to get the people of Clarence in front of them, and if that means getting a touring band and then doing that, we can help build these bands up, and then, you know, then we don't need the touring bands. We just have these local bands who can give us great shows.
There you go.
And build fan bases and make some money.
Sure.
So we have Local Music Tuesdays. They are going to start February 25th. If you go to the Struggling Productions Facebook page, which is just Struggling Productions, you can check them out there. Our first night is, with the 25th, is going to be all, it's like folk and acoustic acts. It's featuring Stress Dolls and Nicotine Jones and Christina Stock and some other acts. Our second night is a rock show, and that's going to be March 3rd, featuring The Scarecrow Show, Dreadnecks, Eleni and the Uprising, This, Scathed, and one more band. I can't remember who the one more band is. I apologize to the one more band. And then
you get a mystery band thrown in there. How cool is that?
Then on the 17th, we're having a St. Patrick's Day party. We've got Moxie Cleveland Cabaret, who does it's kind of a cabaret burlesque act that has pop punk songs performed in like folk and acoustic ways.
That sounds entertaining.
And then we also have Yellow Jack featuring former Struggle Is Real host Dennis Reed. The project is typically kind of like 1920s spirituals, like old like Erie Canal kind of songs and songs about the history of Buffalo. For St. Paddy's Day, they're going to be doing that. They're also going to be doing a whole bunch of their own little Irish stuff as well. I'm hoping there'll be some more stuff announced that in the near future. I'm just waiting to hear back. I'm assuming St. Patrick's Day has extra hours. But they haven't,
you know, we
yet.
Need some more songs about canals. I only remember the one, and I just feel like there could be so much more canal song out there.
Oh, how about a Real Movement concept album?
If there's any band that's going to make it happen, it'll be Real Movement.
Real Movement is water and canals.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's all there.
So eventually we're going to be bringing in the touring acts. If you're listening right now, here, I'll do it over again. Eventually, we're going to be bringing in, I'll be bringing in touring acts in addition to the ones that are already going to be coming in. If there is someone you would like to see come to town that's not, you know, Taylor Swift, like,
sure.
Within reason, guys,
yeah.
Let us know who you want to hear and who you'd like to see come to town, and hopefully I can make it happen.
That's pretty cool.
You know, I'm really interested in bringing bands here that just haven't played Buffalo before.
Yeah.
Like, Always is a really great band
okay.
that I like.
Yeah.
I don't think they've played any closer than, like, kind of the St. Catharines area, or, like, Goldfinger hasn't been here in years and years and years. So, I'm just going to look into kind of that stuff I like, and
okay.
I always book the acts I like, so I'm going to keep doing that, and that seems to work so far.
Like, what if I threw out a name like The National? Do you think that's realistic?
Ooh, I feel like they'd be too expensive.
Too expensive, okay.
Yeah, I haven't, at some point I'm actually getting access to, like, the Polestar website that actually has the prices, and I can't wait to see what is within, like, I have more of a budget than I ever thought I'd have, so.
I love this insider info.
So I can't
this
wait to
good.
See, like, yeah. what all these prices are going to look like.
Oh, my God.
Because the ones I'm looking at are, like, I can put on a really cool show for, like, 10 grand.
Yeah.
So I can sell, you know, 1,000 tickets for 10 bucks. Yeah, I could do that. So this is a brand new release. It is from Stress Dolls. If you've listened to the podcast, I love Stress Dolls. Chelsea has such an interesting voice, and kind of knowing her personally and kind of knowing where her songs come from, they speak to me a bit. So this is her newest song. I think it was just released 2 or 3 weeks ago. It is called Nashville, and yeah. Here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
Repose or certain sense of bell. I assure you.
here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. That was Nashville by Stress Dolls. I love that song already, and I can't wait to listen to it 100 more times. So, we are going to talk about some previous shows. I keep forgetting we don't have drops for these things yet. We are in the future. I swear I have an intern working on it. All right, so, on January 11th, we had my birthday show at Milky's. Nicotine Jones, Tooth, The Scarecrow Show, Dreadnecks, This, and Type Relevant performed. Man, I love those guys.
Was it a happy birthday?
It was a happy birthday. Mm. Nicotine Jones, in addition, I love his music to start with, but he played Railroad Man by the Eels, which is one of my, like, all-time favorite songs. It's something I've always wanted to cover myself, and he did it a billion times better than I could. Tooth played, if you haven't caught them, they're kind of a aggressive, jammy rock band. I'm really into their sound.
I saw Tooth at Tudor Lounge one time when I was going to see Tortoise Horse. There was this other band. And I kept asking, what is the name of this band? And they kept saying Tooth, but I couldn't hear it as a band name. I was like, wait, what?
What are you saying? It's all in caps, if that helps.
Okay.
And we also had The Scarecrow Show, Dreadnecks, This, and Type Relevant. It was a packed bill. I actually got asked late by the Dreadnecks if they could join on, and I'm like, I don't know if there's time. And then their bassist, Nick Myers, was like, it's my birthday, too. And I'm like, well, shit, I can't say no to that.
Yep.
So the Scarecrow Show was phenomenal, as always. Super high energy show. Ben was all over the place. You can find videos of me and Ben making chaos. At one point, we played the bass with four hands, and it was pretty fun. Dreadnecks, I hadn't really seen one of their shows. I've had them on bills I've done, but I haven't really seen them. And the one time I kind of got a look at them was at Mohawk Place, and they are so much better at a place like Milky's, where it's got that small rise on the stage where, like, Grant can get right in the crowd with just minimal effort,
yeah.
And they can be right on top of the fans, and they were so much fun.
So they're rowdy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was like, yeah, it felt like a night of WWE was going to break out or something. There were people sitting on each other and people riding on shoulders, and Grant swings around the washboard around his neck.
Okay.
Like he's headbanging.
He's playing washboard while he's up there?
He plays washboard.
What?
Yes.
That's crazy. This is a punk band, right?
They actually fit more into metal.
Okay.
I call it...
So even more of a washboard
type
genre.
I call it, like, country punk swamp rock.
Okay, all right.
That's how I see it. But there's a lot of, like, metal guitars in there. So.
Gotcha. Okay.
But it was a ton of fun. Like, I'd recommend them for any kind of small venue like that where it can be intimate and they can be just on top of you. And they're like, the nicest guys. This has a new drummer. I believe his name is Spencer. I apologize if I get that wrong. It was cool. I think he's the best drummer I've seen them with, which is cool, because I've seen this with, like, I think at least four different drummers and the drum machine now.
What kind of music does this play?
This is a punk band with two basses and a drummer. And then Type Relevant finished up. They were cool as well. Three-piece hip-hop group, live guitars and drums, and Mr. Shut-Eyes rapping. So, great night. Everyone had a blast. Then on January 24th at the Buffalo Niagara Hostel, we had Muddle, Gunther's Radio, Sheridan, and Eleni and the Uprising. I wasn't sure if I was going to do any more shows at the hostel, just with all the other stuff going on. However, it was so awesome seeing, like, the under 21 people being able to come out and enjoy themselves at a show like that. And we made over $100 at the door. And so I think I'm going to keep doing it. So the next one's going to be on April 4th. We're bringing Muddle back. We're bringing Muddle and Gunther's Radio back. If you haven't checked out Gunther's Radio, these guys are criminally underfollowed online right now. Like, literally, like I'm gonna find their address so I can share it with you. Unless they might not have one of those URLs that you actually customize. You know what I'm talking about?
Which platform?
For Facebook.
Yeah. Facebook's a little bit easier.
Like, if you don't customize the URL, it's like your name, but with, like, dashes between the words and, like, a long number at the end.
Right.
So, see, yeah, so Gunther's Radio didn't do this, so I can't tell you what their address is, because it's Gunther's-Radio-32914742093640. So just try searching for Gunther's Radio.
Yeah.
They're a really cool rock band. they're aggressive, they're fun, they're real nice guys. I think they're charismatic on stage. They have 33 likes on Facebook, and that is fucking criminal. And they are also named after a sled.
33 hill. Likes?
33. Like,
well, that means they just didn't send the invites out to their friend list, you know?
It's true.
Necessary evil. I can vouch for this because I just went through this with Pompous Rat.
Oh, it works.
I, like, put out a video, and then we got, like, 50 likes in one day. I was like, man, that video really killed it. And then Dean, our drummer, said, hey, just so you know, I just invited everyone on my friend list. And I was like, oh, that's what it was for. Okay.
But, like, check them out. They're all, I think, 18, 19. They're still high school, college.
Okay.
We had Sheridan play. They were winners of Best Local Song for the All-WNY Music Awards. They were a great jam band. Someone told me that they were an under 21 band, which is why I had them on that hostel show.
Oh.
And then I found out they weren't, and it was like, well, okay. And they were still great. How is the dog finding the one squeak toy after I hit all of them? You can't keep a dog away from its T-Rex, as they say in the Bible.
That's what they say?
That is exactly what they say. And then I played with Eleni in the Uprising. We had a really fun time. And just big thanks to JP over at the hostel. Our next show is going to be on April 4th. It's going to include Muddle and Gunther's Radio again. We like them so much, we invited them back. And then it's also going to have Different Districts, which is a brand new band. They're all like 16 years old. I haven't heard any of their stuff yet. They were recommended to me by a friend who's also managing them, so I'm really excited to see what that's going to be about. And then we have The Same Sun, which is not an under 21 band, but I like having one that's
okay.
One band of adults, if you will.
We need to give them something to strive
like
for.
Like a nice, just like a cool headliner at the top.
If
and
you
I got
kept sa- going, this is what you could be.
Yeah, and I got Same Sun. Same Sun is a local. Oh boy. They can get, like, real hardcore punk, almost like the band H2O back in the 90s. You don't know.
Not
what I'm
familiar.
Talking about.
Yeah,
I figured. But then they also kind of have a ska side that almost has kind of like a 311 vibe to it.
I like 311.
So it really goes back and forth. I saw them at Tudor Lounge a couple months ago. I think they put on a really interesting act. So that'll be happening there. So,
exciting.
But yeah, it was a great show. And then you saw a new band on January 31st at Nietzsche's.
I did. So I'm in a Modest Mouse cover band called Pompous Rat, and we played at Nietzsche's January 31st last Friday, and we had this band open for us. We actually tried a bunch of different bands. We got a lot of no's, and Nietzsche's reached out to this band, Olmsted.
Really? You got a lot of no's?
We did, yeah. Yeah, it just didn't work out scheduling for a lot of our friends. And so then Nietzsche's agreed to go find this band, and they got Olmsted, and it was their very first show, and I loved them. I really liked them. I didn't get to watch all their set because we were busy setting up and getting ready, but I was able to listen to their music. They have two songs on Spotify, and today I had it on in the car, and I could not stop listening. I just had the two songs on repeat.
Nice.
For like all my day today while I was doing errands. And
so what do they sound like?
Really good stuff.
I mean, we're going to listen to them in a second, but
yeah. So,
like, tell me what you think.
So they started off, those two singles are the two songs they have on Spotify. They have a very stripped-down indie dream pop sound.
Ooh,
yeah,
I like that.
They really hit an indie pop sweet spot because it kind of reminded me of Beach House with some of the instrumentation, very dreamy and, like, you know, just that kind of vibe. And then they also have great melodies, like these quirky indie melodies, kind of like Belle and Sebastian.
Oh, I love Belle and Sebastian.
Yeah, I hear Deer Hunter, Atlas Sound kind of influence.
Oh, yeah.
Because they get a little spacey and experimental at times. Their song structures are very unique. And so it's cool. Nate Miller is the guitarist and singer. He was formerly in the band Halo Nelly.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lydia Beinhauer, she's the bassist, and she also sings a lot of songs. And I talked to her after the show, and she said that was her first time performing on stage ever.
Oh, my God, that's fantastic.
She was not a performer, and she was amazing. You could have fooled me.
Like we might have to have her on the podcast.
Yeah, and then so they've also added a drummer. So he's not on the recordings, but they do now have him at the live show, and his name is Paul Luisi. And You know, I think Lydia Nate, one of the vibes I got was like an M word Zooey Deschanel when they do She and Him.
Yeah.
It kind of had that. I mean, a little, you know, they're their own thing. They're a very unique band. And they have a very unique social media presence. So if you're on Instagram, you should follow Olmsted Band. That's Olmsted Band.
Yes, I'm gonna do it right now.
Thoroughly enjoyed them, so I'm really glad that we got to play that show. And
right now,
we hope to work with them again. Olmsted, named after the great Frederick Law Olmsted, designer of many parks in many cities across this country. That's fine.
Cool.
It's fine country. Just fine. Not great.
Awesome. Well, I actually haven't heard them yet, and we're going to pipe in the music later, so I don't get to hear them now. But I'm going to listen soon, and that sounds fucking awesome. And, yeah, let's listen to some Olmsted. This is The Storm by Olmsted. Here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
I know that I'm
And we are back on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com. That was The Storm by Olmsted, a brand new band who you should check out. We are now joined by one of my favorite Buffalo bands. We have Chris and Mo from The Eaves. Hey, guys.
Howdy.
How's it going?
Thanks for coming and hanging out. I've been wanting to get you guys in here for a while.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, no problem. So, you guys have been playing around Buffalo for a while. When did kind of the first bit of The Eaves start to form, you think? Does it go all the way back to, like, high school? Like, are you going back that far? Or?
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, the biggest thing was always our chemistry together. So, like, if you're going off that, then, yeah, it definitely goes back to, you know, friends first kind of thing.
If you guys are friends in high school and you kind of play around music together, how does that turn into The Eaves?
Well, in high school, the whole thing kind of was I wanted to keep playing music in a pretty serious way. Chris was the best drummer in our high school, and he kind of had that pressure from his parents to focus on studies. So it never came together then. But I never stopped playing, and he fell back in love with music and kind of reached out to me and was saying, how do I do this? And I weirdly found myself bandless at a time, and I was like, well, I'm totally down to help you because I believed in the songs he showed me and the mindset he was coming from. It almost gave me, like, a second wind because I was pretty defeated at that time.
What bands were you coming out of?
I was in a bunch of bands. It started with this band Jettison and then this other band Crush the Everlasting. And then after that, Sleepy Ha-Ha's was a band I was in, which is where our drummer now comes from. But yeah, I was looking for something at the time, and he reached out at the perfect time, and it just kind of connected and went from there.
Nice.
Yeah, and Mo has a way better memory than I do, like right off the bat. But yeah, I do remember. I was just like desperate. I had, like, a couple loose, like, contacts of, like, people that I had met that, like, weren't, like, Mo and Adam. And it just, like, didn't really go anywhere, whatever I would, like, try to get together. And, like Mo said, like, I just hit him up and I was just kind of, like, just, like, anything. Like, hey, man, like, I haven't seen you in a while. Like, how's it going? Like, what have you been up to? Like, how has, like, it been for you kind of thing.
So, and this time around, you weren't even expecting necessarily anything?
No, that was just, like, there was, like, an initial, like, reach out, like, you know, years after we had, like, seen each other, like, after we graduated high school. And we just, like, met up one time, and it was maybe a little while after that, like Mo said, like, once he, like, kind of found himself in a situation where he had a little freedom to kind of, like, what his next project was going to be.
Sure.
So, you know, right place, right time kind of thing.
It's like also, it's a cool thing to find someone that's influenced by a lot of the same people as yourself.
And oh, yeah, absolutely.
Can also, like, show you some new things that maybe you missed along the way. And I think we kind of both did that for each other. And, you know, it was a cool thing.
Totally.
At that time.
It's a good way to grow. It's better to have people with varied interests than just being in an echo chamber where you just listen to one thing.
Yeah.
And then you're like, hey, your band sounds like Metallica. And they're like, we all listen to Metallica. And I'm like, that's not an excuse. I don't know why I went off on a tangent like that. So the stuff you originally sent Mo, was that like, was any of that stuff kind of the stuff that ended up on the first album at all? Or like, were you working on like some of the stuff that ended up there before you got together with the rest of the guys, or did that kind of all come together once you started?
There's a whole band before that album came out.
Oh.
We were in a band together called 60s Future, which featured like a lot of the same members, minus an organ plus the guitarist in The Eaves. No,
which organ?
But it was very heavy Americana influence, and by the time The Eaves came around, I mean, that's where the record is now, our first record. But
yeah, I mean, 60s Future, we had kind of had that was where we just first came together, like, at, mm-hmm. and you know, it was just Mo, Adam, and I at Moet Adams' apartment, and, you know, just on Saturdays or, you know, whenever we could get in there, and just kind of screwing around with an acoustic and, like, ideas for writing, and not sure what we were going to do with it. And we kind of had, we went through and recorded these four songs that we had with, it was the first time I had met Jay Zubricki, who we ended up, you know, we've been working with since.
Oh, you're so lucky.
He's awesome. Yeah, seriously. He's great. I'm sure we'll talk more about him.
As you say that, I'm like writing his name down. He is to be on this podcast next.
Oh, yeah, totally.
He's so much cool stuff.
Yeah, he's the man.
The 60s future stuff was kind of us figuring out how to, like, work together.
Yeah. Sure.
And then the Eves is, like, us finding our sound. Yeah. It's how we kind of look at it, you know.
So 60s future, that's what was it called?
Yeah, 60s future, yep.
So did it sound like the Eves in any way, or just...
A little bit. We kind of... I guess the biggest thing is the Americana. How much we really dialed down. Like, now the Americana influence. Sorry, is shaking the table here.
Yeah.
The Americana influence is dialed down, where it's more like a maybe a structural thing than it is a sonic thing
or
an instrumentation.
Like, we still use cowboy chords in a lot of our songs, but it's in a more aggressive way. So, like, the way. Before it was all Springsteen, Petty influence and stuff.
Yeah, very, very.
And now it's kind of like two steps away from that, because we get that through the bands like the Replacements and stuff, that they are obviously influenced by Tom Petty, whether they would say that or not.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But we kind of like, so it's filtered through that kind of, that. So we still have that Americana influence. It's just not as on the nose as it was in 60s future.
So I feel like this is kind of like leading right into the Eves, because... we kind of had, you know, we were leaning in, we really, really liked Lucero, as the Eves, we got to do an acoustic gig opening for, Ben Nichols, which was, you know, I mean, definitely one of the personal high points of his band for me, and, we were super influenced by them, like, almost to a fault, like, or, like, bands of that style, and, we had the first four that we did it, the first four songs that were on an EP at 60s Future. We did a second four that were a little more of an Americana, like traditional, like Americana rock band direction. Put out like half of them, and then we really just focused on what we were going to do next. And we kind of had it, we were writing all these songs, and we had these producers that we wanted to get in touch with, like potentially to work with. And like, obviously, I mean, hey, if there's going to be any like influence that transferred like band to band, it's probably like Gaslight Anthem.
Oh, sure.
So like, you know, we really liked, you know, some of their records, some of Lucero's records. I mean, even going, further back for me, like I liked Dropkick Murphys when I was like a younger kid.
Oh, hell yeah.
And, so like we wanted to work with Ted Hutt. So we're like, he was one of the lines that we threw out there. We got in touch with him. And so we really kind of, all the focus came into making this record with Ted. And it's a big step up from how we had been doing things to like the guys won a Grammy. So it's like, we're going from like never working with a producer before to now. We're working with a guy, you know, at his level.
Absolutely.
And, you know, put out some of our favorite records, like some of our, like, formative. You know, I mean, there's a lot of kids, like, my age that, like, got introduced to Springsteen through Gaslight Anthem, you know?
Sure.
So it's like, you know, they found Gaslight Anthem before they found Springsteen, and then maybe before they found Petty, et cetera, et cetera. So, like... You know, it's all like a certain age thing. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
So what's the thing that like a producer like that brings? Like, do they have some bit of advice? Like, do they have tricks and stuff?
When a guy like that says he wants to work with you, there's a lot of pressure.
Oh my goodness,
on yourself to try to bring songs to the table that he likes. You know,
right?
A lot of the process, since he was in LA, and our budget wasn't big enough to have, you know, a month of pre-production with him here. there was us sending songs back and forth for a year before he even came here.
Wow.
And every time we hit send on a song, it was like,
I hope he likes it. Come back with notes? Does he say no?
I mean, he came back with a lot of brutal honesty. I mean, some about...
Hey, sometimes you need it.
Yeah, some of he.
And a lot of it was at the 11th hour.
Yeah, a week before he came here, he's like, you sound like you're trying to copy something. You don't sound like you're making your own thing. And that really made me buckle down and rewrite all of our songs.
Wow.
I mean, ultimately, he created a watershed moment for our band. As far as, like, reflecting on, okay, what are you actually putting out? Like, who are you? What's authentic? What are you putting out there?
You want someone to listen to you and say, that's the Eaves, not listen to you and say, oh, they sound like...
That's the Eaves doing their, you know, replacements, like...
Right.
And so where did you do the tracking for it? It was GCR?
GCR.
Oh, yeah. You're here with Jason.
Everything we've done has been with Jay at GCR.
Cool.
I mean, we actually just did some new stuff with him, too.
I'm going to ask about that in a little bit.
All right. Jumping the gun.
Yeah. So just to talk about your first album before we get into the new stuff, What does learning to live in the dark kind of mean to you, that phrase? Like, it kind of seems to be what the whole album centered around, and you've got the track. Like, what is that? Dissect a little here for me. I want to dig in on this one.
Well, I mean, definitely all the songs are like, especially with like the emphasis and the sort of recalibration that Ted brought with the approach with this record. You know, and he brought it. You know, it was a kind of a crash course in, you know, sort of looking in the mirror, like, pardon the cliche metaphor.
That's a great way to put it.
It's in every song we have. I had a lot going on personally. So it was really just, you know, it was kind of like balancing a lot of things that were going on. And then on top of all that, we're doing this record with, you know, it was just kind of...
Almost like living amidst the chaos?
For sure.
I know all about that.
Yeah, I'm always really bad at explaining myself also, especially what songs mean, that kind of thing.
Oh, no problem. So do you write all the lyrics? Do the guys, the rest of the band chime in at all?
Yeah, for the moment, they keep me from writing anything too hacky.
Come up with bits
thank
of
God
here and there. The sure. And
yep.
Yeah. Sometimes an of is all you need.
Oh yeah.
So, what are your favorite venues to play in Buffalo?
I mean, definitely Mohawk and Ballroom off the top of. Yeah, those are my two knee-jerk reactions.
Yeah, I want to play Ballroom.
We've been lucky enough to play there a few times. It's great. I mean, we just played Riverworks not too long ago, and it was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with Chris's low vocal, it's hard sometimes in some of the places where the sound doesn't have that kind of extra headroom. And like a place like Riverworks, it's just like, you get to actually hear what our band sounds like and what it would sound like on record, and you know.
Yeah, that was the only negative thing I had to say about you guys. The first time I saw you was I couldn't hear your voice at all.
Well, dude, you were laughing before. That's when we got the in-ears.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of it was the feedback we were getting on stage.
Yeah.
Because, like, to try and get it on top, you have to, you know,
the monitors, he had to get his voice so high in the monitors that it was feeding back everything on stage. So with the in-ears, it kind of helped us out big time.
I love Mohawk Place, but I do have a critique that I think they're at, like, 11. They just need to be down to 10. Just bring it down to 10 a little bit.
Yeah.
Vocalists can hear themselves better.
Yeah, I feel that.
Like,
and I also feel like that's every show I've ever been to.
I think some places are decent at it, but
we did a record release at Leopard Lounge, and honestly, like, that's a really cool spot.
Where's the Leopard Lounge?
That's inside Ballroom. It's the room off to the side, and that's like a really cool spot. It's like professional.
That.
It's cool.
I mean, I really just saw today they announced a Raina Kendo show there, which is like
wow.
I mean, they would usually play the main room. I feel so like for them to do a Leopard Lounge show. It's probably sold out at this point.
Awesome. Rumor has it you're working on a new album with Robbie Takac at GCR. Can you confirm or deny these allegations?
Not a full-length album, but a new EP.
Cool.
Type deal with him. It's all tracked, pretty much done.
So how intensive is like, he there, like, every day with you guys? Is he just kind of popping in or, like, hearing the stuff at the end of the night?
He's there. It's a total different situation from Ted. Ted was, like, so hands-on. Robbie kind of...
What needed at the time.
Yeah.
Sure.
And now Robbie is kind of more of, like, sit back as another... maybe member suggesting, maybe we shouldn't do this here, maybe we should do this here, kind of situation. And Jay gets to do everything with the sounds and stuff like that, whereas Ted was really involved with, like, miking and everything.
Oh, you get some of those producers, and they'll be like, yeah, well, we need your fingernails to be this long when you record this track.
Yeah, Ted used to always tell our guitarist, like, act like you had a couple whiskeys and now hit the chord. It's like, okay. And he's like, but don't have the whiskeys.
I mean, it was a lot of course adjustments.
I know exactly what he means, though.
It was a lot of course adjustments, that first record. But, like, we learned a ton.
Yeah. Working with Robbie was honestly amazing.
And fit where his approach and his style fit better. Like, it not better, but it
believe
fit.
That.
It weirdly lined up. As well with where we were coming from, and as far as confidence and, you know, how we had reapproached it. And
sure.
You know,
I mean, I think even if I was just going to compare a local rock band to the Goo Goo Dolls, like, you know, the vocals aren't quite there, but right on the rest of the stuff that's going on can sound an awful lot like what they were doing. So when I heard that, I just thought it was just like a perfect fit. Like, that's a band that should be working with him. Like,
yeah. And he even said it was really cool. He just felt like, you know, he wanted to be in our band all the time at that point. He laughed a lot during those sessions, but that's how it happened.
And do you think for this round, for the first record, you're figuring out that sound, you're piecing it together, you're building it, you're figuring out what it is. Now you have that sound, you've been touring on that sound for quite some time, you know it well. So when you're coming in the second time, do you feel like you have that confidence that's allowing you to, like, get more creative because you know what works for you so well?
Totally. I mean, that first... when we did the record with Ted, obviously we care a ton of being, we put our heart and souls into this stuff. So it's like, you know, when someone's telling you, it's like you say, like, I mean, it's not like these people that are resistant to, like, change of, like, their persona or their sound, what have you.
It's like the producer's not doing it to be a dick. Like, he knows what he's doing.
And it's tough. And, you know, like, especially because you have your heart and soul in this, so it's tough to not take it personally. And it's tough to use it to, like, challenge yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So it was after... That was a really tumultuous, at least personally, like, and internally, like, processing everything when we were making that record. It was a weird thing. So, like, everything, like, basically when we were able to approach this again, it was... at this period of, like, after the dust has settled.
Yeah.
And it's like, we can kind of, like, all right, let's get our sea legs back. Like, let's kind of, like, we've made these course adjustments.
Like, sound-wise, how does the new stuff compare with the first album? Is it kind of a lot of the same kind of feel and atmosphere, everything? Is it any great evolution in any great direction, you think?
There's no organ. Which,
yeah, probably the biggest thing sonically.
Sonically, that was throughout that whole record.
Yeah,
organ player, he was in there. It's there's a lot more melodic instrumentation. The guitars are doing a lot of, like, straightforward, like, angular stuff on the record, and the new stuff, we have more leads. It moves a little more. Some catchy leads and stuff in between Chris's vocal things. Stuff like that.
Yeah, and that comes from, I think, like, kind of settling into what kind, if we're going to have, like, any kind of consistent elements, what are they going to be?
Sure.
And, like, you know, what's going to define our sound, you know, in as many words? And so, and I think a lot of that boils down, like, it comes back to the chemistry, like...
Sure.
Which is the biggest, I always thought was the biggest asset of... The biggest, like, X factor, whatever it is, of us, you know, you, me, and Adam, and, you know, eventually, like, Steve and Louie now working together, that now we're able to kind of play off each other and kind of know, like, what we all kind of collectively know what we're going for.
Sure.
And so kind of what the roles are, kind of.
Yeah,
thing.
We still have the loud guitars. We still keep it straightforward.
Yeah.
Structures aren't doing anything.
We have
too
a couple
crazy.
Commandments.
All right.
Yeah. But we also kind of get to the point where it's like in between, you know, a chorus and a verse, I'd like to hear a catchy guitar part and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah,
that's kind of something the record doesn't have. The record's like
not a lot
very
of
reliant
yeah.
on the,
yeah, very
the vocal
yeah.
and just pounding through a song.
Yeah.
In a cool way, but we kind of, you know.
With that organ, I almost felt almost like a gospel-y vibe, you know, mixed with old rock and roll, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like
a little bit
of soul
in there.
Songs.
Yeah.
It was definitely one of the bridging elements, I guess. If there's going to be a change in the sound, it's an adjustment to what you're hearing.
Taking out an organ
instrumentation.
Because that first album, it really is, you're right, it's very prominent.
Yeah. But, so, I mean, you know, that's definitely going to be the, I guess, the biggest change. And then just more of a, like you said, like angular, melodic guitars kind of playing back and forth.
Yeah, I got to write cool bass parts because I wasn't worrying about the.
Yeah, we weren't at threat level midnight.
Yeah, that
so,
is nice.
Yeah,
I've done some recordings myself where it's like you finish it up and then like it's down, it's recorded, and then like 3 weeks later you're like, oh, the bass part would sound way better if I did this.
Right.
And then you have like your shitty bass part enshrined forever.
At the end of the record, right. I mean, when we did the record with Ted. He flew out and he said to Chris, he's like, I don't even know what we got here. And we all felt that way. We didn't know what we ended with.
There was no time to process. It was just like do. And
yeah.
and like a lot of it kind of relied like it kind of it's just shown the light on like the, at least for me personally, the best and worst. Like there's some good stuff and there's some totally shitty stuff on that record. You know what I mean? Like, as far as, like, my role in it.
That's what you think.
but, you know, but, like, at the same time, like, it comes down to wanting to have that progression to like, you should be dissatisfied with what you're, like, if.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like if you think that you're, like, really doing a good job, like, you're probably, you know, a fucking idiot.
That is, yeah, that is usually how it
like
works.
You should, like, you know, you should feel like you're progressing. You should feel like you're improving always,
yeah.
I think.
So. Yeah, absolutely. All we can ask yeah. of ourselves is to be a little bit better than the day we were before.
Well, speaking of progressing, I wanted to ask you, Chris, about so when I first saw you play music was back in high school, Williamsville South. I had to get my Williamsville shout out in there. You were a drummer. When did you start wanting to be a front man of a band? Was there a moment? Did it go from drums to that, or have you always kind of thought about being a front man, being a singer?
No, it was always drums, and then like there was like one weird time where we played like this battle of the bands at a church when we were like juniors
nice.
In high school.
Okay,
and like
what
we
church?
Didn't have a singer.
Do you know what church?
Greg's.
Yeah, all right.
There was no. We didn't have a singer. We had, like, a singer for, like, two of the songs. We had, like, maybe a 9-song set. So I had to sing a couple of them. Absolutely terrified. I didn't even memorize the words, so I had a lyric sheet. I still
remember.
Were
these original songs?
No. They're all covered.
Oh, okay.
And we were, you know, teenagers or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, like, my dream job would have been just to, like, write songs
yeah.
and Chris, have someone else sing them.
Chris,
okay.
I'm telling you. When,
so you like the songwriting part of it.
When Chris brought
me. Well, but now I'm, you know.
When
we
reconnected
it,
and
sure.
Chris brought me the songs, he was singing on them, but he was saying, how do I get someone else to perform these songs?
Yeah.
And I said, you're not going to. You're going to sing those
oh,
songs.
Oh, right. All right.
And then we figured it out, you know.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And so one thing I wanted to ask you about, because, so, you know, I play in a band and I'm the lead singer, but usually I have a guitar with me.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been a few times here or there, usually at open mics or random things, usually karaoke, you know, where you just have a mic and just your body up there. And it is a strange, strange thing to do. And
sure.
to willfully do it every night. I'm just curious, So, and you're talking about you went from, you didn't even want to be up there.
Yeah.
So now you're up there, and you have no shield whatsoever.
Right.
So how did that feel? Did you feel like you started to develop some moves? Like, what, do you think about that, or does it just happen?
From my point of view, the best thing that ever happened is, like, what got Chris back into music was falling in love with Bruce Springsteen and seeing his shows.
Nice.
And I think that kind of, like, gave him, like, oh, if I'm going to be out there, I have to somewhat have a way I am on stage.
Yeah,
I think that's always,
yeah,
that's always been in him. From the very first show, I was worried that he was going to just freeze up at the first show. and from the first show, he kind of had it down of what his style is going to be up there. It was cool.
I mean, my answer was going to be it helps to close your eyes.
Yep.
Well, because, like, that's definitely what I, like, every photo, like, the photos that were taken of that show, my eyes were closed in every single one of them.
But he's
that's why you wear sunglasses on stage. No one can tell when your eyes are closed.
He definitely has his own style and mystique, you know, when people see him from the crowd. I think it's, like, I think it all works. It fits.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so the first time I saw you guys was about 2 years ago at Nietzsche's, and I went with fellow Williamsville musician Dean Davis, and I knew you were in the band because we practiced at the same practice space, right? And so I was like, oh, this band is great. And the singer, and I didn't know it was you. I did not know it was Chris. Okay, yeah. I just thought you were just some random guy. And I liked your vibe. You reminded me of Michael Stipe from REM. Because I watched some old videos of him. He kind of hangs on the mic stand, kind of lurching a little bit. Like, you're using, like, your stiffness to, like, kind of sway around.
It's just insecurity manifesting the same way it always has.
Yeah, right. You turn it into something.
I hope your Michael Stipe evolves into What's the Frequency Kenneth Michael Stipe. If you've never seen that video, flailing
around. Just saw
like
Murmur.
Yeah. We've had to buy four mic stands because of the way Chris is with a mic stand. So.
Yeah.
And then I saw a video of you guys from maybe like a year ago, and I was really watching because, again, I appreciate the performance that people can put on because sometimes I have trouble thinking about that, you know, and you kind of got some hands up there. You're bending your knees. I mean, do you think about these? Do you have little moves you go to, or is it really all just like you separate?
You know, you just try to be in the moment and in the song and what you're saying. You know what I mean? So it's like
I want to ask if this happens to you actually. So I sang for a band. I did once, and I had like the way I was doing things at practice down pat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got out on stage, and then like everything I had practiced was just out the window. Like, did you have that experience at all, where you kind of knew what you kind of wanted to do when you got up on stage, but like maybe you didn't end up there, or is that just me?
You know, no. I think because I'm not about to take credit for half the reason that I did. Or, I mean, not more than half. Like, a lot of my confidence on stage comes from, like, knowing that I'm, you know, Mo and Adam, who I've known for, you know, 15 years, 20 years at this point, are right next. Like, they're my best friends. Like, I'm home. You know what I mean? So it's like,
that's awesome.
I'm fine. You know what I mean? So
you've
I don't.
The safety
there was net. No. Yeah. There wasn't really that. Like, totally hedged a ton. And it, like, it always makes me like grateful, like, just to be able to like work with them. So it's like, that always hedged and a lot of that in Hey Burner. Always hedged, you know, any insecurity that you're about to think you're about to face. But yeah,
awesome.
And then you just got to trust what you're doing. Like, you know, own what you're doing.
I think a lot of our songs, like, we're big into songwriters that had a lot to say. And Chris has a lot to say in his lyrics. So a way to, like, get that through on stage is also, like, how he puts it out there in his motions and stuff. I think that's a cool way to get people to actually listen to what he's saying. You know, because you can get lost in the loud guitars and whatever.
Yeah.
But if you really listen to what he's saying, that's where the special part of our band happens, in my opinion, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. We are running out of time. One last question. What tips do you guys have? If you were gonna recommend to someone just starting off making music in a band, like what's some good Eve's advice?
Do you have anything?
Someone gets quiet.
I mean,
If you don't, I mean,
if you're coming from,
no, if you believe in it, it's,
you give yours and I'll give mine.
Well, it's like it's easier than you think. You know, I run into a lot of people that are like, oh, I just wish I could record a song. Well, it's like you can. If you research it, if you put your time in, you can record a song, and you could do that. If that makes you happy, then do it. You know, I think someone told me the other day, it's like, you've made an album. Like, how lucky are you? And, like, it's hard for me to look at it that way because it's just us moving forward.
Sure.
But at the same time, there's kids that are just wishing, like, oh, I wish I could make an album. It's like, you can. Like, it's not that hard. Everyone can, especially in this day and age.
Oh, absolutely.
With computer programs and anything, it's so accessible.
I mean, shit, Kevin made an album.
Yeah.
This is true. I was just thinking that in my head.
It's so accessible. So it's like, don't be stopped by, like, in your mind thinking it's out of reach, you know?
I mean, that's so weird.
That.
Because that's like, you know, from somebody who, like, I'm just, again, going back to, like, the chemistry, I'm super grateful and, like, just to be, like, working and being able to play shows with, you know, guys I've known for so long and I'm, you know, such good friends with. And, like, there was a point where I couldn't have felt further away from, like, I had fallen out of touch with them and couldn't have felt further away from where I wanted to be. And, you know, I downloaded, like, a couple apps. And, like, that's all you need. Like, a couple apps on your phone. Like, if you want to take it, if you want to, it was always one of those things, like, especially, like, with my parents and everything, they weren't, you know, with music, there's not really a lot of musical people in my family, so it was always like, well, see if you like it, see if you like it. So, like, just see if you like it, you know what I mean? Like, see, like, does it make you feel fulfilled? Like, does it give you some sort of satisfaction? And if you like it, follow it, and, you know, now I am lucky enough to, you know, get to play in bands. I mean, made a record with Ted Hutt. Like, all this, like, you know, a guy who made all these records that we loved. And
only getting better.
Yeah. Made a record with Robbie. And
it's sort of like just allowing yourself to put in work on this.
I mean, that's the other thing with anything in life. You got to stick with it. If you want anything to come with it, you got to put the time in. You got to stick with it.
Absolutely.
Especially, like, this day and age, like, everyone, you know, and me included, my attention span is absolute shit. So it's like the notion of sticking with something and, like, being patient for any type of validation or reward or whatever you want to, success, whatever you want to put it, which are also things that you should have your own definitions for.
Because that's scary to, like, I'm going to put in a lot of time on this.
But that's,
and if it ends up being, there's that fear, right?
Well, that's, so I guess that's the thing. Like, if you start out working with working with an app,
mm-hmm,
and an acoustic guitar, whatever, literally, like, how,
yeah,
like, when I was just starting making music again, like, before I even talked with Mo, you know, like, if you enjoy that, like, and that's the other thing, falling in love, like loving the process of anything you do with life. And, like, so it's like, if you like, you know, the times when you're, you know, eating shit or whatever, like, then you're going to love, you know, like, that's enough. Like,
you can laugh at it and go, oh, my
enough,
God,
you know,
that,
I mean?
Didn't, like, work, but I can't wait to find out what does.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Be excited by it.
All right. So we are going to play a song from the album, and we are going to play the title track from the album. Here is Learning to Live in the Dark from the Eaves here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
It's mediocre mayhem. Pretend like it's 65. Living delusions day to day. Spoiled by the hype. I can't stay in the conversation. I never learned diplomacy. The comedy day to day. The punch is killing me. When the lights go down and the curtains drop, I don't want to struggle to see. I need something to believe in. All my heroes can't be found. The map is all just fantasy. No one knows the way around. I've found love in deeper places. We'll be right back.
And we are back here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. That was Learning to Live in the Dark by the Eaves. You know, eventually this podcast is going to go to WNYmusic.com, and, you know, I can't afford an ASCAP license. That shit's expensive. I am so horrified after hearing that Unsatisfied was a replacement song, and I didn't figure it out.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands that, like, I'm so worried I'm just going to play something copyrighted by, like, complete accident.
Yeah.
So look for me in an upcoming lawsuit.
Yeah, you're going to find out Over and Out really was just doing Talking Heads covers the whole time.
Oh, I knew it.
Yeah.
So, since we don't have any drops, though our new intern Max is working on it. Upcoming shows. FYI, we can now offer internship credit for SUNY Fredonia students. That will be something that we talk about on the next episode. But, yeah, I just wanted to mention that. So, on February 21st, Pocket Vinyl is coming to Milky's. If you folks haven't, they are the band that is talked about the most on this podcast that is not from Buffalo. It is Eric Stevenson playing piano and singing much like Ben Folds, while his wife Elizabeth paints these beautiful, surreal, colorful paintings.
We're looking at one of them right now.
I have it in my living room, and I'm not going to lie. I plan on, at the end of the set, they auction it off. I plan on getting one to match it, to be honest. I hope she does it in the same color scheme, so yeah, it ties the room together.
So all you listeners out there got to come down and challenge Ryan.
I think someone actually knew that I was planning on it, and like, mm-hmm, kept outbidding me to get his hire for the band. He was like one of their friends, so I don't know. He probably doesn't listen to this podcast, but I'm on to you. But they're an amazing act live. The way Eric talks about his songs, the way the songs just are themselves, is fantastic. And they're touring with a full band, which is something they've done performances with a full band, but they've never actually toured with one. They're only doing 10 tour stops with the band. So and we get to do one of them, so we're really happy about that. So they'll be performing straight to VHS. Will be performing. They are Pocket Vinyl's backing band. They'll be doing a set themselves, and then we have The Great Mistake featuring staff member Mr. Will Webb. This will be The Great Mistake's last performance, as Will gets lost to the plant people every April. We'll have Makeout Tactics, which is a great new indie rock group. It reminds me of the New Pornographers meets the Moldy Peaches. There's seven of them. It's a fun time on stage. It's the most party you can have without them being a ska band. That was so lame. And then, of course, we have the Mighty Passed Out playing on the bill.
Yeah, I'm most excited for that because as much as the Pocket Vinyl, but Passed Out, I've been listening to some of their stuff on Spotify. The song Aimless Endeavor, awesome. You should go look that up on Spotify by Passed Out. But I've never seen them live, so I'd be very curious to see how that translates.
Yes.
I think that'd be a good performance. You said their dynamics is really
brought
to light at shows.
Well, what I really noticed is, like, I've seen them at Mohawk and I've seen them at the Hostel, and I almost feel like the music they do is not that it's always quiet, but it's intimate to a point where it really serves itself better on like a lower stage. Like at Mohawk, it's one thing. At the Hostel, though, with everyone sitting close, when he got to those quiet parts and there wasn't a sound in the room, like, that's how I feel like that music really should be enjoyed. And I think Milky's would be a really great spot for them. I haven't seen them at Milky's before, but I feel like it's more of a smaller place and they have that lower stage. So I think Andy and the rest of the guys are gonna give a great performance.
Nice.
So then on February 25th, we are doing our first show at the stage. It is at the corner, it's near the corner of Transit and Main Street, right along the Williamsville-Clarence border. All these Tuesday night things we're doing, they start February 25th, and we're going to do at least five of them, as it looks like right now. They're all going to go from 7 to 11, with the doors opening at 6. They're all going to cost $5. Our first night is a night of folk music with Philip Steven, Stress Dolls, Christina Stock, Nicotine Jones, and No Time to Think. If you've listened to the podcast, you've heard us talk about Stress Dolls and Christina and Nicotine Jones a lot. Philip Steven played actually at a show I did that passed that was on the bill for. He's a really interesting, he's like one of these thinking man singer songwriters, but he is like there's still enough of a punk enthusiast in there that it almost, it's like, it might not be folk punk, but it's really, really close.
Okay.
And I love the passion with in which he does his music. He's been a part of the scene for like 15 years, and this guy should get his due, because I think he's doing a really great job. And then No Time to Think, I actually had someone, it was an email forwarded to me from Nietzsche's, and they're like, hey, like, this guy, you know, you don't get into Nietzsche's as your first show. But this guy, Seamus, made music in high school, and then, you know, college got in the way, and then life gets in the way, et cetera, et cetera. So now, 10 years later, he wants to get back involved with music, so he has this project called No Time to Think.
See, I like that goes back to what we were just talking about with the Eves, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Not giving up, you know? You might not necessarily have the right time yet to really push it, and then eventually, now you have your opportunity. I'm not letting go, you know?
Absolutely.
It's never too late.
Absolutely. I completely agree. So I've heard his album, which you can find it online. I know it's on Bandcamp. And it's really cool. I don't know what he's going to sound like by himself, and I think that stuff is actually like 10 years old, I'm under the impression of. So, but, you know, I'm booking these shows, and I asked him if he thought he could draw out there, and he said that's kind of his people. Yeah. So, you know, he gets on the bill and gets a chance to give it a try, and I've got a few other things that are coming up that he's going to be on. So check him out, and we wish him the best. And
so you guys are looking for a mystery. If you're looking for a surprise.
He is a mystery.
There we go.
We're building a mystery, and we're doing it.
Oh, yeah.
So careful. Then on February 29th, we have two shows. FTMP presents... the band Ashford is releasing their EP Patterns. Also on the bill, we have Amateur Hockey Club, The Weather Might Say Otherwise, and Partners on Shanley. This is one of those times where I admit that I don't really know anything about any of the bands. I've met the guys in Ashford. I haven't actually had a chance to listen to the music myself yet, but we're going to play in a minute now, to be honest. But I always like talking about release parties here.
Yeah.
They're super great guys. I've really enjoyed any time I deal with them. I've heard Amateur Hockey Club's really good, too. The Weather Might Say Otherwise was one of our nominees for Best New Band, and I don't know anything about Partners on Shanley, but, you know, it's a great new band. They're putting out their debut EP. Go check it out if you're looking for something new to do. And then also on the 29th, if that's not your thing, at Milky's, it is the Leap for Love Leap Day Party. A bunch of kind of our more positive hip-hop acts are getting together and just putting together a nice positive show. It's going to include Four Below, which includes rapper Genesis, who's one of my favorite locals. They kind of have a Boyz II Men vibe going. It's like gospel, soul, R&B, like it's real pure. And then there's also an act named Bubblegum, who I'm not familiar with. And then we also have Best Hip-Hop / R&B Performer Jay Aquarius on the bill, and Mark Lee on the bill. And Mark does he does all sorts of really great work for the community. He does mental health awareness fundraisers. He does Stop Bullying campaigns. Him and Genesis actually go to schools and talk to children and try to be a positive influence. So I always like to shine a light on that. So, those are the upcoming shows. All right, and next up we are going to play the first song from Ashford's EP Patterns. Here's Hypocrite, here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
Better than everyone else. Well, guess what?
We are back here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. That was Hypocrite by Ashford from their new EP Patterns, which there is a release show on February 29th at Stamps. All right, folks. Well, that is all we have. I didn't even mention this. This was episode 50.
Yay!
That's an anniversary.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm gonna applaud myself.
We've been around as long as the Super Bowl.
That's pretty cool. Like, and as long as I hit 50, like, I just want to mention my wonderful staff, and even just some of the people who've helped that aren't helping anymore, like Nate Nawarda, Chandler Pozwinski, and Dennis Reed, and then our staff, which is Will Webb, who is positively the best producer ever, and Kevin Kaufman now, and John Galbo, and Cassidy Dwan, and Danielle McCartney, and Jessica Squara, and, oh, God, Mike Sid, who helped out for a little while, and, oh, man, I know I'm missing someone. Elaney, who's been on a couple episodes, and there's just been so many people, and it really is like I can't do this by myself the same way the scene and bands can't do anything by themselves. We need to work together, and that's how we make all the cool stuff happen. Thanks for tuning in again. For Kevin Kaufman,
the struggle is real, and so is the ice.
And I'm Ryan Gurnett. The scene is chaos. Please be kind to everybody. Thanks, and keep on struggling.